your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouyer. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Mouyer, your host, and we welcome you tonight to a very, very special show entitled It's a Business. We are talking about getting ready for the college bowl game season and the NFL draft, and we're going to hear it from different perspectives as we go into the season. Tonight, we have the honor of having with us two special guests. My special co-host tonight is Henry Killer Lawrence, three-time Super Bowl veteran, Oakland Raiders. And our other special guest is Angelo Wright. He is an agent, and his company is called Sports West Football. Now, before I introduce you to Angelo Wright, I'm going to bring my co-host in here and welcome Henry to the show. Welcome to the show, Henry.
Thank you, Ida. It's good to be back and ready to go.
Now, Henry, I want to thank you for filling in last week for me. He was a real good pitch hitter for me. I had to go to a meeting that was unexpected, and he did a fantastic job. So I want to just say thank you, Henry, for really holding the fort down for us. Tonight we want to be really serious because it's a very serious matter in terms of looking at what parents are concerned about most right now. And that question is that, is my son ready for the NFL? And of course, that question can only be answered by the parents, the agents, the compliance people, as well as the NFL itself. So we're going to go through some really pointed questions here that I have received on emails, and we're going to bring in our special guest, Angelo Wright. And let me just tell you a little bit about Angelo. Angelo is a 1983 graduate of San Jose State University with a degree in international business and a minor in economics. He pursued his graduate work at Monterey Institute of International Studies and studied Japanese at UC Berkeley. Now, he's had several professional careers involving sales, consulting, strategic planning, and positioning with Fortune 500 companies, including Motorola, United Airlines, Fujitsu, IBM, and U.S. Navy. From my perspective, Angelo, as an agent, looks at the bigger picture in sports. He begins with the end in mind. Now, he entered into the sports agency field in 1989 by establishing endorsement contracts for the Bay Area athletes like Tim McIntyre, Don Griffin, and Roger Craig. He then established himself as a negotiator by landing several undrafted free agent opportunities with NFL teams. And the rest of that is history. So at this time, I want you to just give a warm welcome to Angelo Wright. Angelo, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ida. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Angelo, tonight we're going to talk about what it takes to get to the next level. And obviously right now, you know, this the BCS is topsy-turvy with, you know, the USC going down. You know, some of the Matt Hayes had come out with his best bet to reach the BCS final at LSU, California, Ohio State, Boston College, USC, Oregon, Oklahoma, South Florida, Missouri, and Florida. Of course, a lot of these have fallen off the radar screen, but more noticeably is USC. That really changed the complexion, and I think every team out there believes that they have a chance for the BCS final. Now, how important is it to make it to the BCS final?
Well, from a school standpoint, it's important for a couple regards. From the school as a whole, the money that is paid out to teams that participate in the in the BCS games, the Fiesta Bowl, the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, all those games, they yield like $10 million or more payouts. So that money is shared amongst the different teams in the league, but it really is a boon for the program themselves. I mean, you have to look at these entities as though, if you imagine pro football teams not being taxed or being advantaged situations, then you realize this is all profit, essentially. It goes into the school. And when you look at the size of their stadiums, like Ohio State stadiums, and you look at the monies and revenues they bring in, that is the same revenue that an NFL club essentially brings in. So the money is important for the school. From the standpoint of the alumni and so forth, the pride and so forth means a lot because you want to be a competitor year in and year out. Finally, for all of college football in a whole, the TV rankings. When the better teams are there and the strong following and there's a competitive balance against those final teams, then that makes it the TV contract as a whole, it's fortuitous because you get greater advertising. So, again, it all works hand in hand. It's a product that works itself just as the NFL would, college football, under the veil of academic justice and so forth. It still runs itself as a money-making operation.
Now, I would assume because of the history of USC, particularly with the Heisman, as well as being in bowl games, the fact that there's a possibility that they will not make a BCS bowl game, how much money are they leaving on the table?
Well, you know, a school like SC, if they're in the final game, you're probably looking at, all told, you're probably $15 to $17 million when you look at everything involved. But the flip side of that is, you know, when you have a program like USC and they're going to be in it every couple of years, some teams get there once and never get back. Example, Boise State got there last year in the BCS. That money can carry their programs a couple years, whereas SC will just chalk it up and it's a chip on their shoulder. But that type of program never has a problem recruiting because of the history, because of where they are. Their problem this year was they lacked speed at wide receiver. Everyone knew it. They had a great running game, but their receivers were really a letdown. And, in fact, from a pro scout perspective, they said they had nothing. And teams were able to put eight in the box. They were able to defend the man-to-man downfield. And that essentially has allowed them to not be able to be vertical. And then the quarterback goes down. So if you really look at it and take away the fact that you've seen these championship SC teams, they were a good football team, but not a great football team this year.
Well, now, do you think that that's going to affect them in the draft this year for the seniors or the juniors that come out?
No, because NFL teams, the misnomer is, if a team has a lot of great athletes, it often makes it more difficult for NFL teams to analyze talent because you take a team like LSU that has great speed and they've anointed them with a lot of supposedly great players, but a lot of their players tend to either hit or miss in the pros, particularly a defensive lineman. Their ends particularly. Some defensive ends make it. Other guys are just mediocre. Same with their offensive line. And you look at their linebackers, the same thing. So, you know, but yet they've got other positions they do quite well. Their receivers are hit or miss. You turn around and look at USC, strong history on the offensive line. Offensive linemen from USC tend to be pretty good pros. The running back, same thing. Look at the tradition and history. They often continue to follow that trend because scouts often look at clubs to realize, are they the same pedigree? What's the history of them? Look at their recent history in receivers. The Mike Williams, who's now out of football, was, I think, 8th, 9th pick in the draft. You look at Dwayne Jarrett, a clone of Mike Williams, but who might be slightly faster, lack of speed. Well, now the trickle-down. Finally, the same type of, replicated players, and now all of a sudden you can't throw the ball downfield. So I think, when you look at SC, in certain positions, they have a couple guys to be first-round type grades, Ray Mamalonga, the linebacker. You look at Keith Rivers. They got two receivers, regardless of how well they play, they have first-round grades. They have Cedric Ellis, who arguably will be the second or third defensive lineman off the board. They have a corner, Terrell Thomas, who will be an early pick. So you're still going to have 3-4 first-round picks. Just because the club doesn't play well does not necessarily mean that particular college football team is not going to have the same number of individual players go high.
Now, you know, we've had a lot of controversy with the BCS, and that's been, you know, whether or not it is a fair system. Why is it that a school that has had a consistently great year, Hawaii, is rarely on the radar screen?
Well, there is some politics involved, but you also got to look at level of playing week in and week out. When you look at SEC week in and week out, that's highly competitive football at a high level. Big Ten, highly competitive. Pac-10, most of the time, is highly competitive. But there's certain conferences, when you go to Mountain West, the WAC, and even the Big 12, when the balance of power is somewhat minimized. The other thing you have to look at college football now is now with over the years, and when Henry played, you had a lot more scholarships you can offer. They've cut back on scholarships. Now teams that run, most teams are running a spread offense. Spread offense allows them to put four receivers on the field, and it's almost a modified run and shoot, or if you will, for the listeners, almost like arena football. So they spread you out. Most college football teams only have one or two good cornerbacks. They lack the big guys up front on the D-line to play traditional smash-mouth football. So now you get competitive balances with the South Floridas and that teams that are loaded with skill guys with great speed, they can create matchup issues that years ago you didn't have those matchup problems, but now you can create them because of the evolution of the player in the game. And this has caused for if you will, somewhat of a better balance amongst those clubs.
So what's your biggest surprise this season? Let's say biggest upset.
Well, Notre Dame to be that bad. I mean, they just flat out lack speed. And, you know, Tyrone Willingham's guys won games with him. Charlie goes out and recruits players, and now all of a sudden they don't have enough talent. They just flat out lack the speed to be competitive at the level of that they continue to play.
Now, a lot of people complain and say that Ohio State is number one and undefeated, but they haven't played anyone. I'm sure this weekend is going to make a difference because I believe they're going to be playing Michigan.
Well, no, they'll play Michigan, I think, down the road a little bit. That's always traditionally the last game.
That'll be the last game, yeah.
But you have to give Ohio State credit because even the team Florida beat last year was not an exceptional team loaded with pro-type athletes, whereas Florida flat-out beat them because they were loaded with pro-style athletes. The Ohio State team wasn't loaded with athletes, and you can look at the draft. They had one first-round pick. Their quarterback was a Heisman guy. He ends up, barely getting drafted. So, again, you got to give that coach credit for putting in a system that allows them to win football games based on who they play in the Big Ten and the one or two games that they play outside of the Big Ten. Regardless of what people want to say about Ohio State, they're there every year. They have a system. The thing they should watch out for is not so much this year because, again, this is not a great Ohio State football team per se. They're well coached. Their system works. They know how to finish games without great quarterbacking in with respect to this kid this year. But the next 2 years is when Ohio State will have a dominant football team because they have a lot of young guys playing, and what they're able to do is they integrate these young guys into the game and give them a lot of snaps. So I would say this year, I don't know if they're championship caliber team when you get to the big game, if they get there, but the next 2 years they will have two of the better teams, and that would go back to when Ohio State won a national championship against Miami.
So how resilient is LSU? They've been knocked down, they come back, they get knocked down, they come back.
Well, the issues are really around the quarterback. They don't have stellar quarterback play. He's a little spotty. When he gets pressure up the middle, he kind of gets some happy feet on him. You've got a lot of talented players. The problem that hurts LSU a lot of times, by now you got so many of those kids are looking to the pros and starting to be more myopic in terms of looking at themselves and what they can do. That's the challenge for Les Miles, to keep them together and not for them to start smelling the NFL and losing sight. And I think you run into some of that because all of a sudden they lose a little focus and now you got a couple losses.
Well, we're going to go into a break and we're going to come back. I'm going to bring Henry back in to chime in on this. We're going to talk about who falls to the cracks. I want to send kudos out to Willie Parker, who's on the cover of ESPN News, because Willie actually was an undrafted person, and he is now holds a contract for $14 million. And we're going to talk about how someone like Willie Parker falls through the cracks and what you parents out there can do to make sure that doesn't happen to your athlete. Again, this is Ida Moye, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show. We'll be back in three.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Yeah. In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyet, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show. Of course, this is unscripted talk here, and we're talking with two experts out here about the NFL draft and potentially, you know, what's going to happen in the College Bowl season and what's important right now for you parents to be looking at. Now, our special guest is Angelo Wright. Of course, Angelo is an agent. He is the CEO of Sports West Football. Now, that particular agency came about through his vision. He was not just looking to simply represent athletes. He was looking at trying to develop the client on the gridiron as well as everyday life. And I believe the firm now is in about its 16th or 17th year of existence and remains a very hands-on interpersonal approach to representation. And again, he is based on the West Coast. It's a national firm. And, of course, he works with accountants, legal accountants, and market representatives throughout the country to make sure that athletes have all the things that they need to be addressed. Angelo, welcome back to the show, and I want to thank you again for joining us. And Henry Lawrence is here with us, our wonderful special host here. And Henry, you had a question for Angelo you wanted to ask him. Go right ahead.
No, I was just listening. I was just in awe and sitting here listening. I mean, because I really love the way that he breaks it down. I mean, I just learned something tonight because I know absolutely nothing about football, but I've learned so much tonight. I feel like I can talk about it a little bit. Thank you, Angelo.
He only spent 15 years in the league and three-time Super Bowl champ, right?
I was going to say, if some of these young offensive linemen could watch how you played the game, I think they'd have long careers.
Well, you know, that's a point you brought up, but you know, you mentioned that I have offered to pass some of the things that I did learn on, but you know, it's a different breed nowadays, and I'm not sure there's some that do accept, because Mike Starks is one that he listens, and I think that he's going to be a great one in the league, but some guys, they don't really want to, you know, I'm a dinosaur, man, so, you know, they're not really interested in, but there are a lot of little things that if they just do them, it would make them stand out or put them at a whole nother level. And the thing you were talking earlier about the guys that are playing and winning, and basically they start get caught up in this, they want to play football and all the other stuff, and they start losing the focus. And that was very interesting, and which I think is probably very true also. And the other part of that is when they lose focus on the other end, when they're not getting the attention that they would like to get while they're going, and they lose focus from that standpoint, and they start beginning to lose their intensity and not focus on what they're doing. Because one of the things I feel that
in the sport. We're talking about football right now, but in a team sport, it is a team sport, but what a person don't understand or realize, it also is an individual sport, because in that team sport, there's an individual battle going on there in every position. And they lose focus on that, and sometimes it ends up hurting them, because that eye is on them. Every play is looking at them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Angelo, from the focus point of view, you know, is it true that, you know, these kids play in Pop Warner, they dream to play in the sports, they eat, sleep, and drink football, and then, of course, if they're good in high school, real good chance they may make it to college, but the numbers do get slim and in between. So by the time a kid makes it to college, where do you think they should be day one in terms of preparing for a professional career?
Well, I think the first thing they should do is their commitment to go to college should be first academic. And they think it's cliche because they hear it all the time, but the reality of it is you get less than 5% of any guy that plays college football even gets an opportunity to go to and play. So, in other words, they get a chance to get to an NFL training camp. We're not talking about making a team. We're talking about a training camp in itself. So I think the first thing is focus on getting your degree and then choosing a school that you can get an opportunity to play at. Not always just because it's a big name institution, but really do a thorough check in terms of when you get ready to go to college. Do they have junior college guys coming in? What are they recruiting? And there's enough, if you would, scouting services out there now where you can check and find out which recruits and which people that a certain ball club is trying to, secure as new players. So the first thing is make sure you do your homework on where you're gonna, if you're gonna play. The second thing is really at home, the parents need to really, focus on, to some degree, having their children focus on what's important, because a lot of times when by the time they get to college, they already have some preconceived notions on who and what they are, and either the school reinforces it or the player rebels against it. And this is a generation where a lot of kids have a strong sense of self-entitlement, and that in itself is the major challenge that confronts so many, is making a kid want to work for it. This is a BET and MTV generation, and a lot of kids see a video, and they think the video from start to end is how their life should unfold. In reality, the work that goes into becoming accomplished, or the vision or dream they visualize in that video, is clearly not realistic. But yet they really don't understand that the hard work and work ethic that their grandparents and their grandparents' parents and their parents went through, be it from the 50s up through, you know, the millennium. So I think the biggest problem is you got to start at home and grounding them with basic fundamentals on how to live and how to grow as a person, because so many are maladjusted when they get there that coaches have to spend some time trying to raise people's kids.
Now let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, parents usually feel because they send them to a Division I school that they're in good hands with Allstate, let's put it that way.
Right.
But that's not necessarily true, because we've seen that there's been a lot of issues that have come up on college campuses we've seen lately. Number one, we've seen athletes that have gone out to parties and places, and like in Memphis and in Oxford, those kids ended up getting killed. You're seeing issues of drug abuse, kids with steroid issues. I mean, you just can't send your kid to college and think because they're going to Division I school they're going to be okay. I mean, you got to still have some responsibility towards that.
Well, and like you said, when Henry played, things were a little different, but things just modify. They don't, you know, you had some of those issues then, but you have more because it's exacerbated by the society we live in. And that's why I reiterate, it starts at home. You got to get them grounded when they get there. The coach in college football, again, it is a business. His job is not to say, I'm going to take care of your son or your daughter if she's playing volleyball or swimming or something. Their role is somewhat limited based on the demands of the program for them to be successful. So to find programs where people are going to hold your kid's hand and rear them and help grow them into young professionals, if you will, that just doesn't happen as much anymore, because the demands from the top to the bottom, going back to it, what we talked about in terms of how much revenue is available for schools, all of this is intertwined because the coach has to win, or that coach may not last as long as the player that attends the university.
So literally what the coach is doing is he's balancing his needs, the university's needs, and the athlete's needs. And obviously the priority is for him to make sure he can have his legacy, I'm sure. So if there are some shortcomings in the athlete, he literally could fall through the cracks, is what you're saying.
Yes, if you're not on top of it, even as parents, you need to make sure when your son goes to a certain university that you have an open door to call and find out what is happening, what's going on with your child. And the other point is you need to talk to have conversations to find out what the personal side. Find out from a few kids who it didn't work out how that coach treats them. I mean, once your son signs that piece of paper, that particular player, or being your son or your daughter, they own you. Whether you like it or not, they own you. And often, they have the right to let you out of that scholarship if you want to leave or to make you play under it. Prime example, you have a coach at the Atlanta Falcons right now, Coach Petrino, who's a very great X's and O's guy, but he was never a people person. Most of his players did not like him at Louisville, but they respected him and they played for him. The Falcons bring him in to be a disciplinarian with an NFL team where guys have guaranteed contracts and, frankly, are grown men, and they have not bought into his system, and yet they have the control because the players are being paid, and you're not going to chase D'Angelo Hall out of there because he's an all-pro. I said, conversely, in college, he could sit you down, or he could tell scouts negative things, or do whatever he chose because he controlled you. And I think, a lot of times coaches are very Pollyannish in terms of their approach and view of their players.
So basically what you're looking at is that you just, some players, unless you're an elite athlete, you're probably just a number. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, not so much that, but some coaches, they know how to get the most out of talent. Other coaches, they continue to stockpile talent, and if you don't perform, they move you by the wayside. And again, I don't want to say we're speaking in vague generalities, but close enough, there's so many schools, so many programs that aren't in the limelight where most kids get the scholarships that, you have to maximize your scholarship just like they're trying to maximize the football or whatever sport out of you. They're trying to pull it out of you. You got to get the most out of your education and what you can from the school and its resources and its contacts.
That's right.
Okay, so basically, parents, what you need to do is read the fine print. And the fine print is that you're in charge of your children's life. This coach is there primarily to just simply, I think, enhance the talent that your athlete or your elite athlete has. But at the same time, you've got to be on top of it and make sure, number one, he's getting his education, he or she's getting his education. Number two is that they're doing their assignments as far as their sport is concerned, and they're just as focused. I think you almost have to have a double goal. The goal is education excellence in both sports and in education. And I think that makes a more rounded student. And I think a lot of times, because I've done a lot of work at University of Florida, and you meet some kids that are focused and some kids that are more grounded. And a lot of it begins at home, but also through the experience of playing sports, there is some discipline that is taught because you're in a system and it sort of regimentates your life. But at the same time, you got to make sure that the kid has not lost sight of the real goal, which is to be educated. Now, I think that's pretty much it. Because an educated athlete is sometimes a better athlete because NFL does mean not for long. So we know that. And the average years in NFL for a player now, Angelo, is what?
It's 3.8 years, and I'll tell on this and say, hey, you want a real glimpse of what your child does? Sneak on and look at his Facebook or his MySpace account, and that'll tell you what's going on when he's not grinning in your face.
Okay, folks, you heard that there. Well, we're going to take another. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about what scouts look for, what agents look for when they're looking and assessing a player. Again, we're going to take a 3-minute break here. PA, you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
High school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
From the Super Bowl to the World Cup and every major sporting event in between, Front Row with sports travel insider Robert Tuchman will take you on a private ride into the exclusive world of high-end sports travel. Tune in every Thursday at 12 p.m. Eastern as Robert interviews key event organizers as well as star athletes and celebrities who attend these events. That's Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. It's Ida Moyet, and again, you are joining us in a very, very important question here on the table. We're talking about it's a business, getting ready for college bowl season and NFL draft. And you're hearing it from an agent perspective. And our guest agent tonight is Angelo Wright from Sports West Football. And Angelo, welcome back to the show.
Thanks again.
We've got Henry Lawrence here, our three-time Super Bowl veteran. He's here as my guest co-host, and he's actually helping me get some of this information and pass it on to you. Now, Henry, you were talking about the parents' responsibility in this whole equation of sports. I want to say that from my experience is that there are some responsibilities that a coach has. And number one is that when I entrust my child to that coach, they should make sure my child is going to be safe. Number two is, since it's a learning institution, they should also have the responsibility to make sure my child gets an education. And the NCAA, with their new rules, will agree with that. Because right now, if that kid is not at a sophomore 50% ready to graduate, then of course you could actually see loss of scholarships as well as some penalties there. So I think we're right on the same wavelength there. But the coach does not have responsibility to make you famous or to make you a great football player, because that has to be at least 50% of determination has to come from you. The other part has to come from the opportunity. And I think you agree with me, Angelo, that you got to have determination to do this.
Well, I think determination, but at the NFL level now, teams, the game continues to evolve and remake itself, the talent aspect really has to, you can get to college being a great football player, but to get to the pros nowadays, you not only have to be a great football player, but you, more importantly, and to some teams, you have to have the measurables. And again, much can be said for guys who don't have all the measurables, but are great football players. But so many teams are caught up in the size, speed ratios at each position that, it has really changed the game. And that's why you see a lot of the imbalances where some teams are good and some teams are average, because some people still coach football and other people are looking for, if you will, a computer printout that tells them what makes a good football player and a team.
Now, let's talk about positions, because each position has different measurables to it.
Correct.
For instance, let's talk about, you know, your cornerbacks or your defensive backs. What makes now a good, even in college, what makes a good defensive back and a good cornerback?
Well, speed has become it used to be a combination of size and speed. When Henry played, he had, you know, one of the greatest, a couple greats. Willie Brown played, and then after him, you had Mike Haynes, who's still one of the most underrated, the greatest corners ever played. And you had Lester Hayes, who was a great player. And they had safeties like Atkinson and Jack Tatum. So he had, you know, and then later you had a Van McElroy. So you had some great, players, and they fit schemes. Well, nowadays, speed has become such an important component because the rule changes and the ability of no longer can you, if you would, you call it the Ty Law rule, you can't grab anymore. So whereas everybody, the prototype is a guy that's 6 feet tall or 6 feet or taller and who runs in the low 4.4s, 4.3s. That's the optimal size-speed ratio they'd like with long arms. What you tend to get now is you tend to get a guy anywhere from 5'9 to 5'10 and a half who could be very fast but isn't necessarily a all-around corner. You see so many situations where on third down they go to a nickel where you bring these undersized guys in and you play them in nickel and dime schemes. So some teams are top-heavy with undersized corners because they can't get the guys who can play the total position. And now you have a thing at the safety position where it has evolved and with some teams where it is just as important as your corners because now they look to find safeties who are big enough and tough enough to act as a quasi-linebacker, but at the same time they can play in coverage and have loose hips and able to run and cover people. You look at people like Ed Reed, you look at the kid Taylor at Washington, those are the prototypical guys. So now that's what people search for, but in reality, you often end up with a hodgepodge of different guys trying to make systems work. And when Henry played, or you could say 60s, 70s, and through the 80s, when you had the big hash mark safeties, guys who just knocked the snot out of you, like Ronnie Lott and Steve Atwater, but they didn't have coverage responsibility. So the point I'm making is the game continues to evolve. So as a college player, you have opportunities different ways, but being fully well-rounded is really what they're looking for. But usually players now have one or the other when it comes to the defensive back position.
So, like, for instance, we saw a variation in quarterbacks, you know, and it seems to be that the cutoff point in a quarterback is 6 feet. They don't even look at you unless you're 6 feet.
Well, because you can't see. Most of your D linemen are going to be anywhere from 6'2" and a half and taller, and so you need to be able to see the field. The linebackers tend to be larger, particularly in 3-4 teams. You're going to see 3-4 defensive linemen. So a lot of linebackers are 6'3", 6'4". So if a guy can't see, then you can't hit the open receiver. Oftentimes, when you see that cam, the guy looks like he's throwing out of a barrel or throwing out of a hole. Well, if you're 6 feet tall, you're going to have a hard time doing that unless the team allows you the ability to move around a bit in the pocket. And understand, the coaching isn't as great, and quarterbacks aren't being developed at the earlier stages to be effective enough to do the things required to be a quality NFL quarterback.
So that's sort of a situation where it's actually shutting out maybe some good quarterbacks because, number one, they're not prepared and not prepared for the scheme that the NFL offers, but also height has a lot to do with it because we see great people like Chris Leake that, you know, beat a national championship but did not get drafted and now is not even in the NFL at all. Now, talk about what they call money positions, because you will hear people talk about money positions. What does that mean in the NFL?
Well, money positions are positions that can impact the game. And you can have money positions, and you can have there's two things. You either look for money positions or impact players at any position. So, essentially, your offensive tackle spot would be, used to be your left tackle was important. Now, both tackle spots are very important. Even in this day and age, the guard position is now becoming one where guards are being paid a ton of money. I mean, the thing now is if Henry was playing now, type of money he could command, it would be, you know, seven figures, you know. I mean, I don't mean millions. I should say probably 5-6 year deals at $100 million when guys who were at that level. Honestly, a lot of the players aren't as good as they were back when they played. The rules are different, but for the most part, your offensive tackles, your the big wide receiver with speed, obviously the quarterback position, running back is somewhat minimized unless you're a marquee type runner like, as you can see, Adrian Peterson. That would be an example of an impact player, a role-changing player. Defensive ends command the big dollars on defense and cornerbacks, and anytime, again, you can have an impact player that if an interior guy can command double teams and be disruptive, then you command top dollar. But if you're looking to say, where should I learn to play a position to make money? Offensive tackle, defensive end. You know, if you're a big wide receiver with speed, quarterback, and corner. Those are your positions.
Those are your positions. Now let's talk about your, you know, parents are asking the question. My son's a junior. He wants to go out and not finish his college education. We're against that totally. But we don't want to disrupt a possibility that he could go, you know, very high in the draft. So what do you tell a parent that has a junior who is playing, he's playing well, he's a starter, you know, and he's looking to go out this year? How do you answer that question?
Well, I think the tough thing is first you got to juggle a couple things there, because a lot of times if you're a great player, the school wants to keep you because that benefits the school, it benefits the team, benefits the coach. So my theory is the rule was originally designed, if you were a marquee player, you come out because you were superior or you had gotten your degree after 4 years, but you still had football eligibility. The reality of it is, for the thing you need to understand, do you have the measurables? Secondly, can you sub the process? You send a letter to the NFL, and you send this through. You can ask your coach, or if you don't trust your coach, you go to your athletic director, and they, by mandate, must send a letter in to an NFL review committee. That committee is comprised of some GMs and personnel directors, and they essentially evaluate your game film, and they create a grade, and they do a write-up on the player that essentially gives you a standard deviation of one round up or one round down as to where they think your grade would be. We are essentially talking about maybe 15, 20 kids who are at that level to be considered a first, second round draft pick. There are some cases of extreme hardship where some kids want to go pro and they won't be drafted high, but they just want to be drafted. There's other cases where players realize that the coach is leaving or they're trying to move, some politics are involved, and they want to move on. But the NFL is not for the faint-hearted. If you aren't ready to step up and play at that level and can and are ready for the physical and mental demands, then you need to stay in school. So I think the first thing parents do, submit that letter to NFL and get a critique.
When should that letter be sent?
Well, at the end of your season, and typically that can be sent. There's a deadline for it. It has to be sent in, I think, before the end of the first week in February. But typically in January, you can send a letter in. They'll take a couple weeks, and they'll get back to you, and they'll tell you where respectively they think your draft status would be. But remember, they can tell you first, second round. That doesn't necessarily mean somebody will draft you there.
So let's talk about just the – now we've gotten our letter – we believe that we could go the first or the second round. And I understand the new rule now is that the first day is only going to be the first and second round. Is that correct?
I'm not exactly sure what it is. Usually they try to get through 3 to 4 rounds. They were talking about splitting the days.
Well, I think the new rule now, first and second is going to be the first day because it was too long this past year.
Well, they cut the time down in each round. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not exactly sure, because I do know they cut the first round down 5 minutes, and they cut the second round down a few minutes too. So teams have to make their picks a little bit more quickly. And frankly, every team goes in with about 5 to 10 guys in each round that they would pick. So it is really interesting as to why it takes so long to make a selection.
And typically they do pick the best that's on the board most of the time. I know they have the laundry list of what they want, so that first round, usually they're picking up what they want, but the second round is usually the best that's on the board, I believe.
Well, no, you either draft one or two ways. You either draft for value or you draft for need. And it really depends. There's so many intangibles now with free agency determining where you may fill a hole or you may not. Teams price out how much they want to spend at certain positions, and then they look to see if certain guys are there. So, you know, I learned a long time ago, they think like their whole draft is 10 guys at each position. You've got guys who are blue chip grades, which mean they can come in right now and play at a high level, like an Adrian Peterson. Then there's your red chip players who they believe may be a year away but can contribute someone in year one, or their upside is so significant that you want to take them in that first, second round. And then you move on to, as you degrade down further, guy can be an NFL starter, guy can be a backup, guy's a camp player. So everybody grades out roughly about 10 guys at each position, and then they go to a fallback position if all of them are gone, respective to what round those players are taken off the board.
Okay. So literally, we're going to take another break here, and we're going to come back and close out our program with our special guests here. Our special host tonight with me is Henry Lawrence, 3-time Super Bowl veteran, from the Oakland Raiders, and we also have in our studio Sports West Football CEO Angelo Wright. We'll be back in three, and we'll finish up the evening, and we're going to ask these gentlemen to tell us from their own experience what exactly they think it really means today to be a great NFL player. We'll be back in three.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host, former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety Ray Ellis on the Voice America Sports Channel every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Ray believes it is the fans that support America's favorite sport, and they should be able to express their opinion about the game with passion. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time to Ray Ellis Sports right here on the Voice America Sports Channel. And let's talk football.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. We're at the last end of our program, and again, we've just been graced with two great, figures in the NFL history. We've got Angelo Wright, who is, of course, the CEO of Sports West Football, and he's been sharing with us his whole experience of what parents need to be doing out there and looking at their kids and recognizing that, you know, this is not an easy thing to leap from college to the pros, and that you have to really do your homework and you better know what you're doing. And in other words, make sure you get some advice. They've got sports counselors there at your school, and you also have different professional counselors that are there, can help you advise your student athlete about their future professional career, provide some direction, you know. And number one is keep in mind that if they are a marquee player, make sure they have disability, because it's a very interesting story that some of the kids are actually playing in bowl games without disability insurance, and one hit may even end all those dreams. So you need to inquire and see if your kid is eligible for that. A lot of times if you don't step up to the plate, no one will know. Well, guys, you know, we've been talking here about what it takes to be a great athlete and what it takes to be at the NFL. So in your estimation, Henry, what would you consider as what is a great NFL player? Because you were in the league almost 15 years, and you've seen them come and go. And what would you say, a real great NFL player, what should that epitomize?
What does it epitomize?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, consistency. You know, consistently performing at a higher level than most players do. The other is work ethic, and that also ties into consistency and attitude. Those are, I think, the three most things. And then you got the basic ability, the size, and all those things play a part. How big they are, how fast they are, how quick.
No.
And the mental toughness.
So that really does, and that's kind of a different twist on things. You've been involved in community services. I mean, everyone talks about how you just gave with your heart so much to community, and you still do a lot. You know, with the sheriff's program, with, you know, Boys and Girls Club, you're always involved in those things.
That's what that means.
And that just didn't really begin when you got into the NFL. You kind of like came with that, or is that, and that's something you continue to do. And I think today, with the monies that are paid to the various different players, they have an opportunity to give back. And so if you're speaking to those mothers out there, what would you tell them to instill in their kids as they go forward, particularly those marquee players out there?
Well, first of all, I would say, you know, to instill in them to be responsible citizens, you know, basically one thing is by example. Because what's happening is these guys are getting paid all this money and they still want to act like thugs. They want to get their homies and they want to go and do all this stupid stuff. And I think that the parents need to really push that they, you know, as a matter of fact, to keep them out of it in the first place. But the guy's making $5 million, he won't act like a thug. I love what the commissioner is doing, good commissioner. And I think he's setting the tone for the future. And it's going to make a big difference. You know, you got to be responsible. And you're responsible for your action.
Yeah. Now, Angela, we hear this word integrity, and we hear character being tossed around right now by a lot of NFL teams. What does that mean in terms of dollars and cents?
Well, a lot of teams are looking for certain players that fit what they want to do, and so they can field a composition of team. Good example, when Henry played, the guys kind of hung out together, did things together. I talked to one of my clients today that said when they were on a Minnesota Viking team, hey, on Friday, they mandate that the offensive linemen hang out together, the D linemen are together, defensive backs together. So they built a camaraderie where guys look to work together and create a passion for playing by enjoying working with each other and being a team. Well, he's on a different team now, and that team, everybody goes home on Friday, and they don't partake in group activities with one another. So teams are trying to figure out a way how you can make men who make a lot of money work together, come from different backgrounds, and create synergies for teamwork. And this goes back to what Henry's saying about trying to be a consummate professional and being focused, being consistent, having a desire beyond the money to win. Even though you're being paid, you should still want to line up and play to win. So I think a lot of this it stems all the way back to what we said in the beginning. How bad do you? What is your commitment to being an excellent professional and trying to win football games? And in turn, being rewarded for that by you doing everything in your power to be professional, and that's a carryover. Be it you're a janitor, or be it you work in a restaurant, or if you're working for a Fortune 500 company in the finance department.
So, is there a laundry list that NFL teams look at, and they check off this laundry list? Okay, he finished college. Check. This person did great community service. Check. This person, stayed out of trouble, no complaints, and, you know, in his neighborhood, in the college. Check.
Well,
is there a laundry list like that?
Well, some teams go back to your high school, they'll talk to your neighbors, they'll do a complete check. Well, the thing they want you to do is be eligible to play games. The first thing is, you know, do you have a history of smoking marijuana? If you like to smoke weed, well, that's going to cost you because you miss games, so people aren't going to trust you. The big word in NFL is trust. Can we trust the guy? Is the guy going to play? Is he going to sell out? Is he going to make the commitment? So they look for that. They try to measure your intangibles. And yet, as an agent, you got to make sure that your credibility with the team is enough that if you do have some guys that might be troubled, or a lot of times coaches get bad information on, because initially when they scout you, a lot of parents don't realize this. They go talk to your position coach. They talk to the head coach sometimes, mainly your position coach. The team trainer, what are your injuries? They don't want guys who are hurt all the time or who don't play hard when they're hurt. Because in the NFL, there's a difference between being injured and hurt. If you're hurt, you got to play. There's always some nicks and bruises that you're going to have. So those are the people that hold your future, your position coach, the trainer. Those guys can provide information that gives them some input with respect to whether they think you'll be a quality NFL player or not. So there's a number of the laundry list differs by team, but as a young person trying to get an NFL, you know, you work through your hurts or your pains, you be tough minded. Is the guy mentally tough? Is he a follower? Is he a leader? Because some teams are lack leaders, and you see it when teams collapse. They do different things. Yeah, I watched Philadelphia a couple weeks ago give up a 90-some-odd yard drive straight up the middle of the field. I mean, some of it's coaching, but they're looking for people who can be difference makers and change makers on the football field.
Okay, so what you're saying is that this is almost like you applying for a job. And they're looking for certain qualities that you have to be able to, number one, make the company successful as well as yourself successful. And looks like to me now, as we look at what the various different rules and regs that the new commissioner is putting into place, is that they're looking for that complete player. Now, my question then becomes is that the NFL is trying to expand internationally. They actually had the NFL Europe. I believe that now has come home, and now they're looking to China and all these other places. What's the message that this commissioner is sending out right now by expanding internationally?
Well, they sent out two messages. That's really playing games overseas, and that you look how many people live in China, you look at the potential for revenues with respect to sub leagues and ability. If you can transfer the technology, and think about if you had leagues for pay for fantasy football and you had Chinese people adapting and adopting to play fantasy football, some variation, or look at different parts of the world. I mean, this has become America's number one sport, and this is our one thing that we can try to sell abroad. Now, the difference is that some people can't. The physical nature of football in some countries, it has its limitations because, you know, obviously their football is soccer, but from a revenue base and extending the potentiality for new monies, that's the last horizon for the NFL, as you can see now with the cable TV war. I mean, the one thing about the NFL, when you pick a fight with them, they go to war just like war on the football field, and just like with the cable operators. So their vision is so much, so extensive and expansive, and I think that's where they're going money-wise. But the player side, they've decided, as Henry said, they are not going to put up with this sport becoming I hate to use the word ghettoized, or let's just say they're not going to lose advertising dollars over players doing stupid things.
So there you have it, folks. Okay. You know, in other words, the NFL is not for long. The average is 3.5 years. But at the same time, you got to bring it with you when you come. Integrity, character, and things of that nature. Guys, I want to thank you tonight for a great show. Henry, as always, thank you as our special guest host. And, of course, Angelo, thank you. I know you're on your busy schedule, and you're out there. I think you've been in 4 cities in 2 days. And you'll be continuing. I hope you get down into the Florida area. We'd love to have you as our host here. And good luck to you on your trips. And, again, thank you for being steadfast and keeping the game honest. Again, thank you both. And kudos again to Willie Parker for making the ESPN magazine. And keep in mind, those Steelers are looking pretty good right now. I think the number one reason is how Willie Parker is doing. So, again, thank you again, Willie, for a great season. Okay, folks, we'll see you next week. This is Ida Moye signing off for the Sports Maverick Show.
Thank you for joining Ida Moye and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.